Are you like me? Do you have problems putting first things first? What's important, to doing what's most important rather than something else that we'd like to do? And that's Jesus' concern in this passage. There's a lot of distractions for his disciples. He's going to be leaving them, and he wants them to put first things first. What are some of the distractions that he's been dealing with? Well, people distract us, don't they? People do things, it upsets us, it gets in our way. And one thing he's concerned about has been the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. They were two-faced. They pretended to be one thing, on the outward very good. They pretended to be very religious, but they were really rotten inside, very selfish. In fact, they were the ones that plotted to kill Jesus. They were rotten inside. They were two-faced. We don't want to appear to be good before men and be rotten in the inside and doing that's what's wrong. That's one thing that he was speaking for, against. So, and as he's talking, and the thing is, so what is it that's first? And he speaks there in verses 4-5, he says, I tell you, my friend, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that can do no more, but I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who after killing of the body has power to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you to fear him. So we're put respecting God, fearing him, trusting him, living for him. Whatever he says, we're to put that first. That's the first thing, right? And as he's talking along these lines, and he's speaking to thousands of people now, but somebody speaks up and he says, and he interrupts him and he says, Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. And Jesus replied, Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you? Then he said to them, Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possession. So, what's another thing that gets in the way of our putting, serving the Lord and fearing him and obeying him and loving him, doing what he says, loving others? What gets in the way? Well, this man is worried about something. He's worried about money, isn't he? He's worried about whether he's going to get this inheritance. And he's so worried, and when Jesus speaking to thousands of people, he interrupts him. Can you imagine that? He's just so overwhelmed with anxiety, he interrupts Jesus in front of all these people. And Jesus responds remarkably well by telling them a story. And it's the story we just read, the parable of the rich, what's it called here? The rich fool. And now we don't think of rich people as being fools, do we? They got it together. We struggle along, but they got it together. And this man really had it together economically. He prospered. He knew how to keep building his wealth and getting richer and richer. But why was he a fool? He wanted to get rich so he could relax, to retire early, and live a good life. No more working, no more 8-to-4, no more slaving away, no more having to listen to bosses, no more having to have fighting with him, people who didn't do the work there. He was going to relax. And why was he foolish? Isn't that something that a lot of people do? And we think them wise, that they're able to do this, retire early. Well, the problem is that he didn't take into account that he might die. And then what point is doing all of this? The this very night your life will be demanded from you, then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? It's foolish to live for yourselves. It's foolish to live just for money. That's not putting first things first at all. And this man who, now Jesus knew how to put first things first. What did Jesus put first in coming to this earth? He came to seek and to save the lost, right? That's what he came to do. And he knew how to put first things first. And so he is rebuking this person who interrupted him by telling this story. This man's concern about money needed to change. He needed to put first things first. The step towards his changing to being concerned about the loss meant he to putting aside his living from his concern about receiving this inheritance. So, what's the point of this story? He said, don't be a fool. There was a man that was very well liked when I was working in the steel mill, and he was a boss, and he talked for maybe, I was aware of, for maybe 6 months. I had some contact with him, and he was looking forward to retirement and what he was going to do. And he had all these, he was a man of a lot of interest. He's going to just have a good time now. Once he's retired, he didn't have to come into this dirty old steel mill, this hot old place, and all these people that didn't really want to work all that hard. He wouldn't have that to do with him any to deal with anymore. And then I think it was 3 days after he retired, he died. Tragic, isn't it? Tragic. And that's the point that Jesus is making here. Jesus is really concerned for us, isn't he? In warning us against doing something foolish like that. What doesn't he do? Well, God is making him rich. He doesn't see that. But when we see God blessing us, we take time out, don't we, to thank God? And he's been good to us. And then we're not thinking about just ourselves. There's a matter of thinking of others, isn't there? And of loving them and of helping them with the way, however God has blessed us. And when we do that, what aren't we doing that this rich fool is doing? What's disappeared from our life? Hasn't worry disappeared from our life? We're concerned about others. We're not worried about what money can do, what money can bring. That's gone from our lives. We're thankful to God for what he has done for us. It's not, I knew a godly Christian man who said his goal in life was to make all the money he could so that he could give all we could. To make money so that he could be generous to other people. That's very different from this rich fool, isn't it? Just it's about himself and having a life of ease. Now, Jesus goes on and he makes the point to us, beginning there in verse 22. Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body," which is what that man was doing, "what you will wear. Life is more than food, the body more than clothes. But consider how God takes care of the birds, and he mentions the ravens. The ravens are a big old black bird, and God takes care of this big old black bird. He takes care of the ravens. Now, when I look at you, you sure look to me a whole lot better than big old black birds. God has been good to us, hasn't he, in making us who we are now. We're more precious to him. He sent his son Jesus. Jesus came to die on the cross for our sins. We're very precious to him, aren't we? So we shouldn't worry, should we? If he takes care of big old black birds, why, then we should be comforted. He really does care for us. Now, can we trust God to take care of us? Can you trust God to take care of you? Listen to this, what we read in Romans 8, verse 20, 32. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? He will give us all that we need. Now, he loves you enough to send his son to die on the cross, to take all your sins on him, to take the punishment for your sin, to ascend, to die, and then rise again, and then ascend to heaven and send you the Holy Spirit and continue to work in you. If he cares that much for you, is he going to give you all that you need? He is going to give us all that we need. We just sang that that song that we sing. Jesus Christ has made to me all I need, all I need. He alone is all my plea. He is all that I need. So, in verse 31 here, we read, seek his kingdom and these things will be given to you as well. So there's all these things that we need in life here. But if we seek to please the Lord, he's going to take care of everything else. Don't seek everything else and forget about the Lord, but seek to please the Lord and he takes care of everything else. If he can take care of saving you from hell, he can take care of everything else. If he has done that for you, be assured that he will take care of everything else. Now, in this steel plant that I worked, it was a place where they baked coal into coke. Now, what that meant was that they dumped 67,000 tons of coal in these ovens every month. And out of that came 200,000 tons of coke. And so what happened to that 67,000? They collected that and they cooled that down. And that was called byproducts. And they made plastics and fertilizer and even gasoline from those byproducts. The main point was to produce the coke, because you had to have coke to make steel, and they were in the steel making business, all right? Now, we don't want to, but you couldn't, there's this byproduct here. And that's what, isn't that the illustration that Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and I'll take care of everything else. You seek to please him, you focus on that and he'll take care of everything else. And it's good. All that good, all those byproducts, that looks even better than this stuff that these gray chunks that were very necessary to making steel. That was the Lord will take care of everything else. He'll not only protect you, but he will prosper you. Romans 8, 31 to 32 says this, "If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things?" If he died on the cross for you and saved you, he will give you all things. Don't be afraid, he says in verse 32 in our text, "Little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom." He says, sell your possessions, give to the poor, live for others. Don't live to accumulate stuff. I will go with you. I will be with you. And then he says, where your treasure is, verse 34, there your heart will be also. So when you are living to please the Lord, when that's your treasure, that's where your heart will be, living for him. Putting first things first then. It's important to put first things first. And that's Jesus' concern here in telling the story, in speaking to them about all the difficulties of people, of hypocrites, of money, and all these things that people are about in this world. His concern here is then that we put first things first. Jesus put first things first. When he came, he didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. And so we're to come. We're to fear the Lord and seek to please him in all things, because that's what he's done for us. And so we want to be ready now when Jesus comes. He could come at any moment. And we want to be ready when he comes. And that means putting first things first. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God so that he may raise you up at the proper time. Do what the Lord says. Obey him. Seek to please him. Worship him. Serve him. Live for him. Don't be a fool. Don't worry about other things. Trust the Lord for everything. Seek his kingdom. Be generous to the poor. Be ready when Jesus comes. The song says, I want to be ready when Jesus comes. Don't be a fool. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this lesson from your word. We thank you for this story. We thank you for your patience with in preparing the disciples. We thank you for your patience with this man that interrupted him. We thank you for this example of how when we talk to you, you always listen to us and you answer us. And we ask now that you will keep us putting first things first. And we pray that you will help us to not to worry and not to get distracted, but to remember you and how, and your words to us, that we should remember that you're with us always, that you have all power in heaven and on earth, and it's your desire and it's your will and your command that we tell others the gospel, the good news, so that they won't worry, that they will put first things first and enjoy eternal life with you now and forever in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.